Thank you for joining the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. Each week, we focus on sharing stories and statistics on micro businesses. Those are small businesses with 20 employees or less, including the solopreneur. My name is Mary McCarthy, and I am the owner of YMT Consultants, an entrepreneurial training and consulting firm, and the host of the Successful Micropreneur Podcast. We are joined today by Diane McDowell, owner of Training Marbles. Our topic today is diversity. Does entrepreneurship level the playing field? So Diane, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off by sharing a little bit about you and, quite honestly, the name of your company, Training Marbles. It's an interesting name.
It is an interesting name. I'm a president of Training Marbles, and the name is we are training the marbles of the mind. And so when we talk about business and education and training in a turnkey fashion, we're training the marbles of the mind. So that's where the name comes from.
Okay. So diversity, that's one of the training topics that you cover.
Yes.
So why that topic?
Well, a couple things. I work with businesses across the Midwest, and one of the requests that I was getting a lot in the changing landscape of the world we live in is diversity. And diversity is multifaceted. So we get requests for talking about bad behavior and teaching employees how what bad behavior looks like and what that is going to mean in the workplace. It's talking about inclusion. It talks about the protected statuses, so it goes multiple areas. Even emotional intelligence is in the diversity realm. So when you're teaching people how to get along with others that aren't like them, one of the things that you have to teach them is how to raise their emotional intelligence, because all of us have natural biases. That's the way we're built. It's who we are. We have our experiences. We have biases. So therefore, we teach people how to raise their emotional intelligence so that they can be open to learn new things about people that are different than them.
Okay. And I'm going to come back to emotional intelligence as well. But I'm going to share briefly. I was listening to NPR one day, and they had someone that did a TED Talk on there. I wish I had caught her name so I could go back and listen to the entire TED Talk, because she was so interesting. But her topic is diversity. So she was saying how she goes to these conferences, and there are hundreds of people there. And invariably, she has a handful of people at every single conference come up and say, well, I don't look at anyone different. I treat everybody the same. And she looks at them and she said, oh, please. She goes, we all have biases.
Right.
My bias is when I'm on an airplane and I think a woman can fly just as well as a man. She goes, but if I'm on an airplane and that airplane's going down, she goes, I'm praying there's a man behind the wheel.
And the truth is that we are the collective of our experiences. So we're taught that men can handle tragedies better than women can. So her bias actually fits the narrative. And so you have to teach people how to undo those biases.
And while I hear what you're saying, it's not a conscious thing, because I don't really can't point to a single thing where I feel that I've ever been taught that a man can handle a situation better than a woman.
It's not conscious. It's subconscious. And so we react in ways that we've been taught. It's why little boys are given soldiers and guns to play with when they're small, and girls are given Barbie dolls and things to nurture. So in our society, we teach our girls to nurture, we teach our boys to protect. And so when it comes down to it, the nature is that men protect when women nurture. And so it's not a conscious bias, it's very subconscious. And there are things that all of us have, and I'll give you an example of one of mine, and I always give this example in class. When I was about 7 years old, there was a stray cat in our neighborhood who happened to be black. And this black cat, everyone in the neighborhood messed with. Now, most people don't realize black people aren't really cat people in general, right? And
okay.
So this particular cat, the whole neighborhood messed with this cat at one point or the other. And one particular morning, one of my friends was messing with this cat, and it literally clawed and scratched her to the point that 40 years later, you can still see the scars from that day.
Wow.
So I was deathly afraid of black cats. Until my son, when he was 2, came home. He was playing at our neighbor's house.
Cat.
And he had a black cat kitten in his hand. And he said, Mommy, please. And I had to deal with my fear of black cats in order to honor his request to have this cat. And that cat lived in our house for 18 years and never heard a thing. So we have biases that are subconscious.
Okay.
But we have to deal with our biases so that we can interact with others that are different than us.
So what I wrote down earlier that you mentioned was bad behavior. Now, how is that come into play with diversity?
Well, diversity protects people that are protected. So when we look at the federal laws in the United States, there are protections in certain groups. So if you're over the age of 40, then you're in a protected status. If you are, you can't discriminate against someone based on their race or their religion or their sexuality. We always hear sexual harassment.
Yes.
This is in the diversity realm. So there's all these protected statuses. So there's bad behavior that we deal with in the workplace and in the world that we live in. Let's look at the world right now. There is a 49% increase in violence against Muslims in the United States in the last 3 months. So when we talk about that, that's bad behavior. And when we're looking at
the challenge of that, not to cut you off, although I just did.
That's okay.
It's an assumption because I may not feel that's bad behavior.
Well, the thing is that it's bad behavior because we assume that all Muslims are terrorists because that's what the media has taught us to believe. When we look at the terror attacks that have happened on United States soil, they've actually been U.S. citizens whose ideology has changed. And so, or they've been radicalized. So we can't take an entire group of people and then have one thought or belief about that entire group of people. And so what we're seeing is we went through a full year of a political climate that was bad, and there was a lot of bad behavior that happened. And now we're seeing people who have been emboldened with racism, with sexism, with misogyny, who are now acting out in those bad behaviors. And so when it comes into the workplace, we have to have policies and procedures in place to say, this will not be tolerated here.
Okay. So we're currently listening to the Successful Micropreneur podcast. My guest today is Diane McDowell, owner of Training Marbles. And our topic is diversity. Does entrepreneurship level the playing field? So I know this is a big challenge for corporations, but let's talk about the micro business owner for a while. Mm-hmm. How does that impact us? Because we're typically the solopreneur up to 20 employees, so there's not a lot of us working in the office on a daily basis.
Right. I think from a diversity standpoint, and I've been a solopreneur, entrepreneur for 20 plus years, and one of the things is when I come into a workplace, I am literally open to the environment that I come into. And when I hear people say things like, I don't think about race, it would be like me looking at you and saying, Mary, I don't see you as a female. I don't see you as a woman. Of course I see you as a woman, right? And so the thing is that we can take all of our others off, our religion, our sexuality, our beliefs, and strip them away. The one thing that enters the room for me before I enter the room is the fact that I'm African American. And so the reality is that in a lot of ways as a entrepreneur, I work much harder to get to the same place. And so I don't know if it levels the playing field. You know, there's programs out there that are built for minorities, businesses and women and all of that. But you still got to be in the game. You still got to be in the club, and you still have to have connections to be in the room. And so I'm not sure if it levels a playing field or if it is still the fact that goes back to the biases. We all have biases. Can she do what I expect to get done in the way that I expect it to get done? And so it sounds odd, but I work really, really hard to prove that I know what I'm doing, I know what I'm talking about, and that I'm the best person to come in and do the work for the business, regardless of what it is.
Is some of that, though, some of your bias as well?
I think there is a bias on my part. I think there is a bias.
A bias actually goes both ways.
Everyone has biases. Whether we are minorities, no matter who we are, we have biases. And so my parents taught us at a very young age, you work hard, you work every day to do what needs to be done and do the right thing all the time. And so, I have that bias as well. But I come into the room working twice as hard as anyone else in the room.
So Sheryl Sandberg was at a speaking engagement, and she talked about how, you know, she was wrapping up her speech, and she said, I'll take 3 more questions. And after 3 more questions, she said women lowered their hands, men kept their hands up. So she kept answering questions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until afterwards that someone actually came up and mentioned that to her. She didn't even realize it.
That she had done
had
it.
Happened, that she had done it. But the man's hands were up, so she kept on calling on them. Right. So the women came up and said, well, you said no more questions, so we put our hand down. And she was really caught off guard. She goes, you know, from her bias, she goes, I don't know if I would have called on them if the women had had their hand up, because I had said no more questions. She goes, but the men's hands were up, and I automatically kept calling on them.
Yeah.
So that goes back to biases. We don't, it goes to the unconscious.
It does.
She wasn't aware until someone pointed it out to her. You know, the woman that says, I hope that there's a male pilot behind the airplane. We do. But there are also times where you don't think about it. And
yes.
then you're surprised when people bring it up.
Well,
because it's not maybe the bias that I had on that particular person.
And we don't recognize how our behavior impacts others. And so if I say something and someone literally pulls back from me, or they have a reaction to what I've said, I may not know why they're reacting until I ask the question. And let me give you an example.
Okay.
I went to do a training class for a client about 3 years ago. It was Friday during football season, and my tradition has been Friday I wear a Buckeye shirt, right? And I'm always in a red Buckeye shirt on Fridays. So I go into this training class, and we start the first session, and I can't get the group to engage at all. I mean, at all. And that's not normal. So we get through the class. I look at the HR person that I dealt with over the years, and I said, what the heck just happened? And she said, I should have told you. We're an Amish country, and our pod of employees have a very, very strong reaction to red, a sign of the devil. And so she said, I just completely forgot. And so I was like, no problem. I went to Walmart. I bought a white shirt, put it on, and the rest of the day was fine. But I didn't know that that was why I was getting the reaction that I was getting until
I
asked.
And I just laughed, which I should
right?
know.
It's true,
though. It wasn't funny when you were going through it.
But it's true.
We don't always know. So
we don't know.
The point that I just heard you say, which is so important, is to ask.
Ask. And
rather
then,
than assume, because we do assume.
We do.
From our lens of bias as well.
Yes.
We assume. So as
if we ask, let me say this. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yep.
If we ask, and then we recognize it, and we apologize, 99% of the time, the apology is enough.
Yes.
It's just we don't ask, so we don't know, and so we're open to more issues.
What can micro business owners do? You know, it's almost like a family because we're so small.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're hiring our first employee or just our first couple. We're dealing with our employees and our customers and our vendors, so we're already feeling pretty overwhelmed at times.
Yes.
Now to add, we have to deal with diversity on top of this and deal with the emotional intelligence and the bad behaviors and all of that. What can we do to protect ourselves?
I think there's a couple things that every business should do. Whether we are one strong, we're probably okay. But once we hit and we start having employees, the bigger we get, the reality is that we need procedures, we need policies, and we need HR standards in place. So if I have an attendance policy that says, if you do this, this, and this, here is the outcome, we have to do the same thing with diversity. If I have an employee who engages in this behavior, here is the discipline I'm going to take. And what I find with employers is when they set the bar high, their employees will rise to the occasion. But we got to know that we have to set the bar high. Worst case scenario for business is to not know and then to end up in a lawsuit with the EEOC.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's sexual harassment. And what a lot of businesses don't realize is that you can't even defend a claim for harassment if you haven't done two things. You haven't taken steps and actions to prevent it or to resolve it if it's occurred.
Okay.
And you haven't taken the preventative steps up front. So one of the preventative steps is a policy and training. And a lot of businesses miss that. You can't even defend it if you don't have those two things in place, according to the Supreme Court.
So I think for the last point, which was a really good one, Diane, was we have to have policies and procedures.
Yes.
As small business owners, as an individual up to just a couple employees, we tend to not have a handbook. We tend to not develop the procedures. You know, we're still kind of running quite often just really fast
yes.
and not documenting and planning.
Yes.
And it really is time to take control of our business and really make sure that we're effective in everything we do.
I agree. It's time to get our A team on board. Have your HR, have the finance part, have your A team, and let your A team guide you in their strengths so that the business owner, president, can run in their strengths and the business can grow.
And that's an excellent piece of advice. So I want to thank Diane for joining us today. Diane's contact information will also be found along with this podcast on our website, The Successful Micropreneur. Diane, if someone would like to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
They can reach me either two ways, by phone. Our business phone is 844-3-MARBLES, and my email is dmcdowell@trainingmarbles.com.
Thank you for listening to the Successful Micropreneur podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, like us on Facebook, and share our podcast link with all of your micro business owner friends. Thank you again for joining us today. My name is Mary McCarthy, owner of Your Management Team. For starting a business is tough. Failing a business is unnecessary.